Lawson led the way, with Gant and his lantern following, and Rooster right behind with his rifle. Lawson had the sensation that the rifle was trained at his back most of the way. As they got up alongside the engine, Lawson looked back to Rooster.
I'm drawing a pistol.
He smoothly drew the Colt with the grip of yellowed bone. Six silver slugs would finish off six members of the Dark Society, if he was lucky. If. They walked along the track into the wind and snow. Already the pile of boulders and smaller rocks looked to be frozen together. Gant's light picked out the prints of Tabber's size 12 boots heading around to the side of the obstruction. A shift of the lantern further to the right showed a rocky decline stubbled with gnarled pine trees, junipers, aspens, and a ground covering of sagebrush and greasewood shrubs. Lawson figured this was a perfect place for an ambush, be it from bandits, Indians, or other.
Tabbers! Tabbers! Answer up!
Mr. Tabberson! Where are you?
Gant started to walk around the blockage.
Don't go any further.
The conductor obeyed without question. He lifted the lantern and swung it back and forth.
Tabbers! We're here, Jack! Answer us!
Lawson caught a movement to the left, over where the rugged cliffs started to rise. Then there was a movement to the right, down among the pines and the thicket. No one else could have seen these flashes of motion but he, for he knew they were creatures moving at rapid speed from one hiding place to another. How many had gathered here? His senses told him 40, 50 or more, and not all were of human shape.
Help! Help! Help!
It was coming from further down the embankment, in amid the underbrush.
Help! Help!
Hear that? Coming from down there! Mr. Tabberson, where are you?
I hear him! Jack! Are you hurt?
Maybe he's got a broke leg. Took a tumble. That could have busted his leg. I gotta get to him.
Listen to me.
Lawson put a hand on Rooster's coat collar before the man could start down and held him in an iron grip.
You don't know what's down there. Tabbers is finished. Even if they let you get close to him, you wouldn't find him. But they'd have you.
Let me go, hear me? I said I got.
You're not going. Neither of you are. I told you, He's finished.
Help me! Help me!
They're moving him. Come on, we're getting back inside.
No, sir! No, sir!
Rooster tried to push Lawson away, but it was like one man trying to move the biggest boulder on the track.
Mr. Tabberson's hurt, and he needs help!
You can't help him. I can't either. Gant, start back. You follow him. Go on!
In spite of the Winchester, Lawson gave Rooster a shake when the fireman didn't obey.
I'll carry you if I have to, or I'll knock the hell out of you first. Move!
Help! Jesus, help me!
The Winchester's barrel went up under Lawson's throat. Rooster's face was right up in the vampire's, and if he saw anything fearsome at close range to that visage, he did not flinch.
I'll move, Mr. Alabama. For now, I won't pull this trigger. But when we get inside there, I don't care where you're from, who you fought for, or what the damn hell you are, you're gonna tell everybody straight what you know to be true about this. Are you hearing me?
I am. Now do what I'm telling you.
Rooster peered down the embankment again. Once more, Lawson thought the young man was going to try to go after Tabbers, but then the rifle barrel left Lawson's throat, and Rooster followed Gant and his lantern back toward the locomotive and the passenger car. The vampire gunfighter stood alone. But he was not alone for very long. He sensed rather than saw the movement behind him, and in a blur he whirled around with the Colt full of silver angels ready to fire. A little boy sat atop the biggest boulder.
You don't want to do that.
The boy was maybe 12 years old, but Lawson knew that was only in appearance. He had been taken and turned young, that was for sure. The boy wore a white shirt with a ruffled collar and ruffles down the front. At least, it had been white once, before it had become matted with dried blood. He wore gray short pants and cream-colored leggings with old-fashioned buckled shoes. Above the pallid and grinning face, the mass of curly, tousled hair was straw-colored, and the boy's eyes were light. Except now they held centers of crimson, and they were aimed at Trevor Lawson with not only malicious intent, but a touch of true merriment.